Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated.
Renewed hostile actions against United States ships on the high seas in the Gulf of Tonkin have today required me to order the military forces of the United States to take action in reply.
Dr. Martin Luther King, the apostle of nonviolence in the civil rights movement, has been shot to death in Memphis, Tennessee.
Senator Kennedy has been shot. Is that possible?
He still has the gun. The gun is pointed at the beat at this moment.
Take a hold of his thumb and break it if you have to.
We were to run a full fast. We had an explosion and we are defending the military. Let's try our best.
People calling themselves members of the Weather Underground last night planted bombs in federal office buildings in Washington and Oakland, California.
They took the babies out of incubators and left the children to die on the cold floor.
Survivors of the USS Liberty are demanding a congressional investigation into what happened and acknowledgement that the Israeli Air Force bombed a U.S. intelligence Navy ship.
The death of bin Laden marks the most significant achievement to date in our nation's effort to defeat al-Qaeda.
The Taliban is taking responsibility for shooting down a U.S. helicopter. More than 30 people were killed, and there are reports this morning that most of them are U.S. Navy SEALs.
There may be a false flag incident where a ship goes down and used to accelerate the next war.
If there's one thing that has unified Democrats and Republicans, and everybody in between, that we all hated the bank bailout.
The Department of Homeland Security is apparently on a huge ammo buying spree.
It comes out to like 1.6 billion rounds of ammunition.
Today, it is infinitely easier to kill a million people than to control a million people.
They estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill.
I'm here to warn people. You keep telling me to shut up. This isn't a game.
What if the American people woke up and understood that the official reasons for going to war are almost always based on lies and promoted by war propaganda in order to serve special interests? What if we as a nation came to realize that the quest for empire eventually destroys all great nations? What if the American people learned the truth?
The FBI has foiled about 17 plots to kill Americans during the past 10 years. What it will not tell you is that there have been 20 foiled plots, and of them, three were interrupted by members of the public. The 17 that were interrupted by the feds were created by the feds. Why do we pay the government to trick us into believing it is keeping us safe? What if a government that manipulated us could be fired? What if a government that lacked the true and knowing consent of the governed could be dismissed? What if it were possible to have a real game changer? What if we need a Ron Paul to preserve and protect our freedoms from the government? What if we can make elections matter again? What if you could love your country but hate what the government has done to it? What if sometimes to love your country you had to alter or abolish the government? What if Jefferson was right? What if that government is best which governs least? What if I'm right? What if the government is wrong? What if it is dangerous to be right when the government is wrong? What if it is better to perish fighting for freedom than to live as a slave? What if freedom's greatest hour of danger is now?
It's critical that every citizen of this country rise up and do something, because the day of reckoning is at hand and time is running out.
Unless we do something, we're going to get the government that we deserve.
How did you let this happen? Wake up out there. You know, it's your children. Don't you care? Look what these people are doing to you.
There are 200 million adults in this country. Why we are letting them get away with what they are? Why we're not marching in the streets?
Do everything in your power to restore freedom and your individuality back to America. Stop being a country run by the institutions for the institutions. Let's go back to we the people, by the people, for the people.
You have to stop being scared. You have to stand up and do what's necessary to take back, to stop these bankers, these elite, this government full of lies, congressmen full of liars.
End the Federal Reserve. End the fractional banking system.
End the Fed.
Elect Ron Paul. End the war.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Don't give yourselves to brutes. Men who despise you, enslave you, who regiment your lives, tell you what to do, what to think, or what to feel, who drill you, diet you, treat you like cattle, use you as cannon fodder. Don't give yourselves to these unnatural men, machine men with machine minds and machine hearts. You, the people, have the power. You, the people, have the power to make this life free and beautiful. Let us fight to free the world, to do away with greed, with hate and intolerance. Let us fight for a world of reason, a world where science and progress will lead to all men's happiness. Soldiers, let us all unite!
All right, everybody, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson, broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina, 6.07 p.m. on the East Coast. There's no guest scheduled for tonight. We know on Thursday we're going to continue our debate on Thursday with Dr. Ventura and the Black Jesus Minister, and we're probably going to get someone else also on the panel so we can have a three-person panel because we left some things unsaid, and really I want to get to the answers this time. We heard everyone talk, blah, 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 I'm from here, this is me, you can find me here on this Facebook page. Well, this is my radio show. Okay, you got all that plugged in last week, last Thursday. Well, this week I want to hear answers or people are going to be muted. End of story. That's the way it's going to be. I don't want to hear people preaching. I want to hear answers. I want to hear Bible verses proving, was Jesus black? Was Jesus white? Was Jesus a Jew? Was he purple? Was he yellow? Or was he nothing? I want to hear the Bible prove itself. Compare scripture with scripture so people can have their questions answered. Period. End of story. I don't want to hear, you know, philosophy or philosophical views or personal beliefs or personal plagiarism, basically, where everyone's talking about their issues and who they are, what they are, and what they believe. I don't care. We heard all that last Thursday. Go back and listen to the show if that's what you care about. I want answers. Okay? And no answers were given. If you go back and listen to the show, no answers were really given. Some scripture was thrown out there, but as soon as a question got asked, someone went off into a rant. And that's why I constantly interrupted everyone, because no answers were given. And I'm going to interrupt again. If I don't hear any answers, I'm going to interrupt. Don't like it? Oh, well. We'll talk about a different topic then. Anyway, yeah, the news out there, you know, we touch upon the news. 60,000 homes destroyed in Louisiana because of the flooding. 60,000 with damage. 100,000 people applying for federal assistance from FEMA. Good luck with that. You know what they're going to give you? A portable home. And that's what you're going to get for the next 10 years. There's still people from Hurricane Katrina, for goodness sake, that haven't gotten federal assistance or help. Okay, so what makes you think you're going to get it? Well, I mean, you got to file the paperwork, and it's like a gamble, you know. Some people will get helped. And then you go out to the West Coast. 75 square miles of land and homes. Square miles, that's a lot of land fried because of drought. Homes burnt up. Never before have you seen such destruction all at the same time in this country. Never. Well, we've had disasters, yes, but not at this large of a scale. And it's not that much talked about. We're talking about Trump. We're talking about Hillary. Hurricane Katrina, everyone knows Hurricane Katrina. How many of you know about these floods? How many people were killed? 13 people were killed. How many of you know that? How about the wildfires? How many were killed, including firefighters? 27. Okay? So not many of you know anything about that, do you? Because we're all concerned about Hillary and her emails. Hillary's not going to jail. She's not. They're not going to arrest her. And she is most likely going to be your next president. Fact. One thing Donald Trump did do, he went down to the flood victims there. I know it wasn't advertised or broadcasted on the media. I don't know if he said he didn't notify the media, that's why. But he was down there handing out free supplies to the flood victims, clothing, water, food. Put some people up in temporary housing out of his own pocket. Well, he should. He's a billionaire. and all the billionaires in this country, if you're an American, you should be down there doing that. And guess what? We wouldn't have 100,000 people applying for federal assistance. But that's not going to happen either. Well, America, you keep smacking God in the face. Go ahead with your homosexual tendencies and your LBGQTCYBCY communities, whatever the hell they're called. You know, go ahead. Keep doing it. Keep getting involved in unconstitutional wars, killing innocent people. Keep doing it. Keep taking down the Ten Commandments out of courthouses. Go ahead. It's going to keep getting worse. Says it right in the Bible. All you got to do is read the book of Revelation. It's not that hard to figure out. It says it. Go to 2 Timothy. The book there describes, in the end, there'll be perilous times. Well, are we not in perilous times yet? We're getting there pretty close. So, and then I played a little thing on gun control there. Before the introductions, that was just for the people who call in early. If anyone wants to hear that again, I'll be more than happy to play that again at the end of the broadcast so you can hear it all if you want. I don't want to play it again because there were some people online listening and the first 4 minutes were played and I don't want to have to make them sit through that again. But I assure you this program will be wrapped up earlier than usual tonight unless some people want to call in and contribute. So if you want to call in, it's an open floor tonight. I know we don't have that many people on the line tonight or in the chat. So, and that's just the way, you know, hey, that's what happens sometimes, but maybe it's for the best. This way it gives the supporters a chance to talk or talk things through. So I'll go ahead and connect Mike. He can hit first, and then Joe, I'll connect him at the same time because he's two supporters. I know they're not going to talk over each other. Mike and Joe, go ahead. You're on the program.
Go ahead, Mike. Good evening.
Hey, Joe.
Go ahead, Mike. You first.
Hey, I just wanted to bring something up. My wife went to work a couple days ago, and there was a girl she works with, and she was going to a Donald Trump rally down in West Bend, Wisconsin, that he had. And her husband was going. He was kind of dragging her there, if you know what I mean. And she came back to work, and my wife Melody asked her. I said, "So, how did the Trump rally go?" She said, "It was boring as you know what." And she goes, "What do you mean it was boring? I mean, there was 18,000 people inside, and 36,000 that they couldn't get in outside." Okay, and she goes, "Well, there was no protesters, nobody got hurt."
Go ahead, Mike. That's funny.
My wife Melody looks at her and says, "What?" She says, "Yeah, I want to see the commotion. You know, I want to see the violence. And I'm thinking, you know,
that's what Americans love. They love that, Mike. It's in the video games, in the music. They're not happy. They love this stuff. They're getting what they want. What did I just talk about? Perilous times. They're getting what they want. But go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, but it's like what Trump said the other day. You know, he says, double L, do you have to lose? I mean, come on. You know, 50 or 60% of the black young kids don't have jobs. I mean, 70% of them are not graduating from high school. You know, it's on and on and on and on. But, you know, in a way, he's kind of right. I mean, what the hell, excuse my language, do they have to lose? You know, they're living in poverty. They don't have jobs. You know, they're on the train of nowhere. You know, and I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that up. It struck me kind of different that somebody would just want to go to a rally. And then we're talking about a lady in her 40s, early 50s, and it's like, I don't know, something's the wiring is messed up here, in my opinion. But anyway, I just wanted to bring that up, Joe. I just wanted to tell you that last week's show was very good. Very knowledgeable people on there, and Dr. Thoreau was great. And you know, you controlled the show real well. So anyway, I'll yield to Joe and Meriden.
Yes, this is I. Yeah, speaking of last week's show, yes, that was a good show. As I said then, there was a little bit of quite a bit of talking over one another. And you're absolutely correct in your opening that I don't think much was answered at all. And you're correct, and I mentioned that on the show. When you're quoting Wikipedia or other sources like that, that they are user-submitted sites. You can go to Wikipedia, look up an article, and submit a change yourself and have it changed. So if you want to reference an article from Wikipedia as a reference, but don't quote anything from there. And I believe, in my own opinion, because if you look back through history, it always proves itself out, that you can't rely on the bosons, the leptons, and the string theories that they think they know about. Because in 100 years, we'll probably think of that as nothing at all, and it doesn't mean anything because we were wrong. And all throughout history, as I mentioned, we find out that man was wrong. We found out that putting radiation in our well water or in our toothpaste wasn't a good thing to do. Getting a prescription for Chesterfield cigarettes from the doctor in the 50s and going home was not such a good idea after all. So it just goes to say that to make a reference to these things, I believe, is one thing, but to quote them as the fact and that's the way it is, I wouldn't do that. And you were talking about Hillary Clinton. I've heard, and this is just a reference of what I've heard. Of course, you won't hear it on CNN, you know, the Clinton News Network, or National Panhandling Radio, or anything like that. That I believe it was Scranton, PA. Hillary had a get together, and there were four people there. So they went out and they hired a couple hundred. Yeah, they hired a couple hundred students to come in and fill the auditorium for.
So how the hell is she leading in the polls? How the hell is she leading in the polls? How the hell is she leading?
Because we have the Clinton News Network, the CNN, and places like that. You know, you're not going to get the news off of the TV. You're going to get the ratings. They're going to say whatever they have to do for the ratings. And I believe you're right. It's a put up deal. She's probably going to be our next president, regardless. Regardless, you know, I said this weeks ago that she's sick. She has problems. She has a brain tumor. She has brain lesions, a blood clot, or something like that. And it's been all as if it's conspiracy theories, then that's what it is. But people are reporting about it, and if it's not if it's not true, then I believe that the Clinton News Network or Clinton herself should come out and you know disavow any of those whatsoever, because it's out there and it's all over, and they're saying she is a sick person. And I'll
she
yield
is,
and go
you're
back
absolutely
to you.
Correct. Yeah. Well, there's another subject I wanted to bring up too. These scumbags on the other radio network there, Talk Real Solutions, or TRO, they call it, where I've been on there the past couple weeks, and what they're doing is they're taking parts of my show or when I was interviewed by another show, and they're editing my words, and they're taking sections out and putting them together to make me say different things. Okay, and this is what the news media does. And look, and you know, I've always said the media lies anyway, so who cares? But this is on alternative media, and it offends me. Okay, and this show is on 7 days a week, so if anyone has time to listen to this black piece of shit, because that's what he is, he calls himself Tyrone Shabazz, or whatever the hell he is.
Excuse me, that's not his real name,
yeah.
By the way. I mentioned that last week.
I know, we know
week.
That.
Right.
Yeah, we know that. We've already checked him out. Some of us have. And he's a liar, and he's a piece of garbage. And what he's doing is he's labeling me a racist. And he says I'm a racist. He says I said white power. Well, so goddamn what? I said white power because this was the question. This was the answer. How come when people say black power, it's okay, but if someone says white power, it's not. You're a racist. And he put it in there where I called in and said white power, you black nigger. You see? Do you understand what I'm trying to get at here? And I did say the word nigger, but not in that content, in that context. You see? But he rearranged it and re-edited the show where it sounded like I said white power nigger. You know? So everyone's like, oh, he is a racist, look, see? And there was nothing I could refute because he's playing a recording and we have brainwashed, hypnotized zombies out there that believe anything they hear or see without understanding the times which we live in today, which is the title of this show, which is why I picked it, because we live in the times of deception, okay, and perilous times. Like the Bible says. And, he, of course, this individual also, folks, those of you out there who served in the military, this individual says we need to rip the Constitution up and start all over. Well, this person actually did serve in the Army, I found out. Some people had called me and said, hey, he was wrong for what he did. They shall remain anonymous because they asked me to keep him anonymous. And they gave me some hints and pointers on how to get him kicked off Blog Talk Radio. Which that is, I'm going to put that out there. I am trying to get him removed because he violates 7, section E, number 7, paragraph 7, section E, where you are not supposed to use any type of racial slurs against the guest or denigrate them or abuse them during a conversation. And he openly admitted he loves abusing me. Okay? And I'm a racist with no proof. And he's redoing a lot of the archived recordings. That should be some kind of copyright infringement there. I don't know, but those of you who support me, if you have time, check it out. Or maybe call in and call him an asshole. I don't know, because, you know, that's what he is. You can do that on Blog Talk Radio. You can. And for me as a host, we went at it. And you see, and he knows I've proved him wrong. He's a black racist. He's probably a Black Panther or one of those, I don't know what he is, but I know the Black Jesus Minister broadcasts on his network on Friday nights. Oh, he couldn't stand the Black Jesus Minister coming onto my program. Oh, he said he couldn't stand. He felt like throwing up because this guy actually, he brought all his listeners from over there to my show, and it's killing them. So you know what? That's what we need to do. We need to destroy them. Get them off Blog Talk. Complain. This is not true. Nowhere at any time have I ever said anything racial. I have stated I don't like gay activity, but that's according to the Bible. And I read what the Bible said. The Bible says gays are worthy of death. It says it. Don't blame me. Blame King James. He's the one that wrote it. You know? I'm just a mailman. And I know we had Tone on here, who's probably an FBI agent, And he's out there in the works somewhere listening, probably doing the same thing. I believe he's a planted seed. He's another Hal Turner. And he's up to no good. I'm sure he's listening someplace right now. And I don't see his number on my screen, which is probably all for the better, maybe. I know he claimed to be my co-host on another network, another show. I don't know why he's going. I don't know what his point is or what he's trying to do, why he's missing in action lately. He's all obviously up to no good. We know that. Tone? What is Tone? What is his real name? He said he had a blog talk show. Where is it? We can't find it. What? You know? So there's a lot of this. My point is there's a lot of deception. And apparently a lot of people don't like me now. And they're on the black side of the dark side of things, if you know what I mean. Well, that's a racial slur. Oh, well. But anyway, it's the truth. And it Talk Real Solutions. I wish I had the phone number to give everyone. Maybe next time maybe the black Jesus minister. I know he announced it several times last Thursday show, if you want to go back and try to get it. But I really wish some people would go over there. I'm going to call in there tonight, actually. I'll be in there. And you'll hear him as soon as my number pops up. Oh, we got the white racist on the phone. And by the way, also, this guy did serve in the military, this Tyrone. And shooting stray dogs over in the Middle East, sir, is a very disgusting thing. You should be brought up on animal cruelty charges. Just thought you should know that in case you're listening. Mister from Myrtle Beach, okay, who drives a convertible, okay? So anyway, just I figured I'd put that out there. So Mike and Joe, I don't know what your opinion is on what I just said, but I wanted to get that out since I got a little fired up there.
Well, I think everything you said, right down to the Myrtle Beach, is very accurate. I think I've been this route before, and you know quite well. And you know about the times we live in today. I'll tell you the way it is. Actually, I don't live very close to New Haven, Connecticut, and I don't live very close to Hartford, Connecticut. But those are the two major cities. And again, you know, I'm not singling out blacks and I'm not singling out whites, because this isn't an absolute statement, but I'm going to tell you the way it goes. If you're in New Haven and you're white and you're walking down the street and you're walking quickly to catch a bus and you step outside that yellow line, you get a $75 ticket. But if you're black, you could be laying in the gutter drinking a bottle of beer and nothing is done to you. Or you could be walking down the street with your ass hanging out and nothing happens.
Ass hanging out, yes, but not according to them. They're being shot by the police every day. And the police are targeting them. Well, go out and get a job and stop committing crime, and the police won't be pulling you over and arresting you.
Well, that's what I'm getting at. I'm not trying to say they're bad for that, because that's the way they are. And you know what? We've learned to live with it. And what they should do is learn to live the way they are and the way we are, and let's get along. That's all the point I'm trying to make. I like them. There's black people around here. Some of them are my best friends. But then again, some of them are really bad, and they're probably nobody's friends. And you know what? That's just the way it is, and that's life. But nobody's signaling them out. It's like the captain said, they're killing themselves is what they're doing. You know, just today, I seen two from two doors up walking down the street here with their arms full of dirty laundry. And they're two houses. I live in the city here, by the way. Cars go by here all the time. They're two houses down from where they are, and instead of walking down the sidewalk, they're walking down the middle of the road. And the road isn't big enough for two cars to get by. And one of them decides he has to go back home because he forgot something. Where do you think he put his dirty laundry? Right in the middle of the road, and made every car stop that was coming down and wait for him to come back out to pick it up. Now, I don't know if that's stupidity. I don't know if that's sheer stupidity or if he's just doing it because he thinks he deserves it or something. But you know what? It's just not right. And anybody in their right mind could see that. But that's the way it's done around
here. Well, you're giving your personal testimony. You're giving your personal testimony, because I don't want everyone out there to say, hey, this show is about racism.
Not only am I giving my personal testimony, but I could pull the video back up and show you placing them down in the middle of the road, because I have everything recorded around here. Because at 2, 2.30, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, they're circling the houses. They're circling the driveways. They're checking out every car to see what's in it that can be stolen. And let me tell you
something.
That's
because the white man won't give him a job. That's because the white man won't give him a job, even though we have a black president.
Well,
you know?
I think they thought that Obama was going to help them, but just like it goes, you know what? He only made it worse.
Yeah, I agree there. And I wish he did help them because it would curb crime. You know, I don't have any problem at all with opening a factory in the inner city so everyone can get a job, you know? I don't have a problem with that at all. The problem is none of them be qualified to do the job, you know? But that's blame your public schools. Blame the city of New Haven. Don't blame the white people who live in Litchfield, Connecticut, or out here in the country, you know, because we know how to take care of ourselves. We know how to live off the land. Do you? Do you? Well, turn the goddamn rap music off, okay? Stop throwing your fingers up all cockeyed like you got arthritis because you're, you know, your gang signs, and start learning how to live. And I noticed a lot of white people doing that too. When I saw my niece do that, put a picture up on Facebook with her hands all cockeyed, throwing the Crip sign up or the Blood sign up, whatever the hell they are, you know, shame on you. And that's why she got very little conversation when I visited her. I'll tell you that right now, because I don't tolerate that. Act white. Act who you are. That's right. If someone thinks that's racist, too damn bad. Act who you were brought up to be like. Well, actually, she probably was brought up to be black. You know, that's what the schools teach. That's what the music teaches. You know, like you said, pants hanging down their ass. You know, that's cool. You know, I think it's disgusting. You know, I'm in a restaurant and somebody walks by me with their ass hanging out. You know, I really feel like saying, pull your damn pants up. You're disgusting, you know? But what would happen, you know? Most of the white people would probably disagree with me. You're a racist. You're a racist, you know? Well, maybe that's what we need to be. It's time to maybe turn back the hands of time to straighten this country out, because whatever's happening today is not working. It's not. Our teenagers are a bunch of punks. They can't stand up and fight for themselves. You got black teenagers knocking them out every day. You know, when I was in high school, let me tell you something. It wasn't like that at all. I went to a keg party. A black person showed up and started throwing fists. Let me tell you something. That white boy stood up and kicked his ass. It ain't like that today, though. They're a bunch of pussies. You know? Excuse my language. But, you know, and that goes back to your generation, Joe and Mike, and even Joe in Florida. Maybe we should get him on. When you grew up, what was it like? These kids today are a bunch of freaking wimps, you know? They dress weird, earrings hanging out of their noses, piercings on their face, you know, tattoos, nonsense, marking up their bodies. Bible talks about that. Bible talks about that now. That's what the black robe priest did in the Book of Kings, tattooing their bodies because they get that euphoria feeling because they're putting poison into their arms, you know. But what do you think about that, Joe? And Mike, I don't know if Joe from Florida can... Since I got open lines here, and there's only a few on the line tonight, maybe 10 or 15, if that. I'm checking now. I'll see if he wants to contribute. I'll touch base with him tonight. Just to see, because, hey, Joe in Sebastian, Florida, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, Joe. Go ahead.
I didn't know if you wanted to contribute because I mute you in the beginning, so I never know. If you do, here's your chance. If not, I'll go ahead and mute you.
Yeah, okay. Well, I'll say good day to everyone. And I do happen to agree with you. You know, most of them, okay, I'll draw a line there. I did have a helper that was black, and he was very good. He just got his license, and we worked together. We were teamed up at the nuclear powerhouse. And I went ahead and, I told him, his name was Carl Washington, by the way, and he lived in Norwalk. And, I talked it over with him, and we were putting up tray at the time, cope tray. And I doped out a way that we could put it up faster. Well, he said, I'll get up there and, you know, do that part, and you do the groundwork. I said, okay. It's okay with me. Well, the boss came through and saw what was done, and he was working. He was a good worker, by the way. And they called in the engineers because of the fact that so much of the coke tray went up in one day. It really lost up the whole estimator. So he came in to look at it, and, you know, basically what I'd done was change 1 degree, 1/8 of an inch, and that's all it was. And by golly, we put up something like 60, 70 feet in one day, which
so he was a good worker.
Amount.
He was a good worker.
Yeah, he was a good worker. He worked well. He was knowledgeable, and he was good. So that's about it. Joe,
but
I
when
got
you were growing
thing.
Up, Joe, but Joe, yeah, I know you got other things, but real before you go to
okay.
the other things, I don't want to confuse your train of thought. I got to ask you a question. When you were a
yeah.
kid, and we know you grew up, you know what, in the 40s? Am I correct?
Yeah, someplace around in there. I was born in 31.
Okay. We all know that racism was very prevalent, and we know that you had 6 million members of the Ku Klux Klan, but how was race relations were in the time that you grew up? I mean, were they bad? Were they good? I know history, but I'm just asking for your opinion.
Okay. What happened was when I was growing up, I could start off at kindergarten and went to first and second. And there was an individual, he was, I don't know, he looked like he was tan all the time, you know? So I'm almost like a mixed breed. Well, at school, he was a big guy. He stayed back a couple of times in school, and, well, he beat the hell out of me. And I went home.
I couldn't help it.
And my father taught me how to box, you know, how to fight. Okay, here I was, I think it was second grade. And, well, my mother, she always wanted to walk me to school. And that's what
caused
some of
the trouble. I could see that happening.
Oh, yeah. Anyhow, this William Pardee, he started picking on me again. And my mother said, go get him, fight.
I can hear her saying that too.
Yeah, she was the instigator of the whole thing. You know, you guys that know my mother, you know, she doesn't take no for an answer. Well, this William Pardee and I had a fight. We fought to a draw. And believe it or not, it goes the way most stories go. He became my friend, okay?
I watched out for him.
But, you throw it back at him, and then...
And
hey,
Joe, time repeats
yeah.
itself. Joe, time repeats itself because the same thing happened to me. I
sure
fought
does.
This black kid in high school, and let me tell you, he got the best of me. We went back and fought again in the parking lot of the high school. It ended up as a draw. But you see, that's how kids fought back then. We didn't pull out a gun and drive by and shoot up
right.
10 innocent people instead of, you know? And that's, we
right,
had
yeah.
respect. We had respect.
Right.
And it ended up a draw, and we ended up actually talking to each other. He was on the bus schedule where he was shipped in from New Haven to go to school in Wallingford, the VOAG program. And I'm sure some of you from Lyman Hall know what I'm talking about. They had a VOAG program where people would come in from
oh,
other
yeah.
schools, you know, because they were starting the busing, the desegregation thing back then where, you know, minority schools would bus into white schools, you know, and I ended up fighting this kid. Of course, I got suspended. He didn't. the racial discrimination. But he stayed home during those days I was suspended because he even thought it wasn't fair, you know. So, but that's what you had respect. But, Joe, you said you had some other things to talk about, so go ahead.
Okay. As you all know, I broke my hip. Well, what the bills started rolling in. I want to tell everybody about the ambulance service because of what they done and how they done it. Well, it's 4.3 miles from my house to the hospital. Okay, they billed me $784.20. I complained.
Lord.
Yeah, right. I complained, and when I called them up, Eleanor, the woman there, said, "Mr. Gibson, all you got to do is just pay your bill, and that's all, without talking about it." I said, "No, I'm not going to pay $700. I'm gonna. Okay." And before you know it, they sent me another bill. Okay. Well, I said, I contacted the insurance company and I made a complaint. Well, they did. Then I got a letter from those people. They lowered it to $200. Okay, I paid the $200.
That's fair. I think that's a fair bill. I think that's fair.
Yes, I paid it, and it went that way. I haven't heard from them since. But what I have done is I have contacted. I know a couple of people in TV, and there's this one show that shows people that try to ruin other people by overcharging and what have you. It's on TV. Well, I contacted him. He said, "Yeah, Joe, yeah, you write it up, and we'll go down there and we'll take some pictures of it, of the town, the ambulance service, and all of people. And, yeah, we can put that on TV for you." So
activism. You're being a good American. You're taking part in stopping corruption. Another good point.
I'm not bowing down to those people. Right.
That's right.
And, well, it's going on 2 weeks. I haven't got a bill from them. But, oh, yes, what they've done is a couple of days after I talked to the guy, I got a bill for $2,100 and some odd.
What was that for?
It was 2% of the total bill. What they were doing was they wanted to charge me. So I went ahead and put it away, and I said, when the guy comes down here, I'll show him this too. But that's about the way it goes. Other than that, with me, I'm waiting for 2 more months before I call up and get some applications or any of that to tell the people, hey,
how's the hip healing? Are you able to walk now or what? I mean,
oh yeah, I can walk well. I can walk well, except that I've had a little bit of trouble with my knees, but I can walk well with it. I can't run yet, but all in all, I'm moving along. I walk along. I clean the house by myself. I don't have a wife. And, well, other than that, that's about all that I have here. I stay in the house most of the
all
day
right.
when I, unless I have to go to the store and everything. So that's it. Back to you, Joe.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe, and Sebastian, Florida. Thanks. I know you'll stay on the line. I'll just go ahead and mute your line then. So in case you have to get up and do something. But I know I still got Mike and Joe. I just reconnected Joe.
I have something to comment on.
Go ahead, Joe.
All right. This is, excuse me, this is for Joe in Florida. Give him something to think about and possibly give an answer. Something I'm wondering about, first of all, it's good to hear that he's walking good and he's not running. And frankly, I don't think he should start running. But if he's able to do that, all the better for him. But I mean, at his age. Regarding the nuclear power plants, I've had clearance for nuclear power plants for different sections here in Connecticut. And this is what I'm wondering about. I've seen the turbines in other gas-fired, coal-fired plants where they actually produce the electricity. I've never seen turbines or heard of the turbines on how they actually produce the electricity from the nuclear fission. Is it fission or fusion? I don't know. From the reactor.
And what I'm wondering is, you know, electricity is an instantaneous thing. It has to be there. They can't produce it after you already want it. It has to be available for you right away. And I'm wondering if these nuclear plants are more or less just a storage house, like a battery, for the peak demands, the instantaneous demands, so on and so forth, for electricity around the country. And, of course, I already know that when you make electricity in your own state, they don't sell it to people in that state because they'll make more money by selling it to people in other states or in other countries because then they get taxes to go across state lines and state borders and all that. But I'm just wondering if the electricity produced, if any electricity is produced at all in a nuclear plant, if it's somehow stored for those peak demands. And going back in school, the crowd I hung around with after school, as I mentioned on previous calls, and my father would know, were generally much older than me, especially at my age. They were always 3, 4, 8, 10 years older than myself. And right, and whenever I got in a fight with them, I always lost. But in school, I generally always won. I generally always won in school. So that's my story.
Not according to Mike. You beat 12 people up down in Dairy Queen one day. Mike, where are you? Are you there?
Well, I think Michael's talking about that time they came after me, and these were my older friends, 4, 5, 6, 7 years older.
And this is Dairy Queen to Bridget. And listen, this is Dairy Queen to Bridget. We stopped at Dairy Queen, and that's where I hung out too as a kid. And we stopped at Dairy Queen when we were in Connecticut, because I know she's listening. But this is the same Dairy Queen, so it goes back in generations. But go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Right. No, they were driving, and I wasn't driving. And three of them were in the front seat and two of them in the back. And they started bad-mouthing me and calling me names and everything like this, for, you know, because I was younger and they were bigger and mature, you know. So one of them reached out and gave me a slap. So I reached in and smashed him right in the face. And then they went to hit me again. So I reached in and I grabbed the person in the middle, and the driver started taking off. And I dragged that person right out of the car onto the ground. So after that, they didn't bother me either.
What'd you do with the guy after you got him out of the car?
I just kicked him a few times. I mean, we were young. You know, I was 13, 14, or 15. They were 16 or 20.
And this is back
when
Wallingford had one cop, so you weren't going to get arrested.
Well, they had more than one cop.
Hey, Joe, next to Dairy Queen was Rancho Bill's. Remember Rancho's?
Oh, yeah. We used to go down there and get 10-inch chili dogs for a quarter.
Oh, they were the best. And
yep.
Rancho was a fighter, remember?
It's Anthony's right now. It's called Anthony's right now.
Yeah, sub
oh, really?
Shop, yeah. Yes, he was.
And then if you went in there and you – well, actually, if you went in there and you had a little bit of long hair, oh, God, he'd pick on you like there was no tomorrow.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Mike,
I brought up the Dairy Queen story because you told me that when I was on the farm. So I need to hear that story.
Well, and Joey just told you, I was...
Oh, okay, that's the story. Okay. I didn't know if that was the story or not.
Yeah.
Were these people in a gang? Because you said, Mike, they were with the slumlords.
Well, we had made our own gang back then, and I don't want to comment on it and everything, but you're awful close.
Well, it's
or the Savage Nomads or whatever, I don't know.
Hey, Joe, how old was I? 8? Maybe 9?
Well, yeah, if I was 13 or 14, so you were probably 10 or 11 maybe.
Right. So, you know, the city you take on, you know, 6 guys in the car, I mean, you know, hey, to me that's a little bit of a Superman.
Well, back then too, I was quite tall and everything back then and everything. As a matter of fact, I've never grown too much bigger than what I was back then. So just because I was in my early teens or whatever, everyone thought I was older, but I wasn't.
Well, if my little boy's listening, we're not going to take any from my youth down to yours. Mm-hmm. I mean, my youth up to yours and my grandfather's. Guess what? We don't want him to fight in school because we have a different time now. He'll get suspended for an entire year.
I think, you know, you should stand up for yourself, and just like your radio program, Joe, you know, if you don't want to hear the truth, then don't ask me. And
that's right.
You know, that's the way you know, I fly, and Joe, who runs this program, is about the same way. And you know, don't call in and expect the you know, a rose-colored answer, because, you know, you're not going to get it.
You're not going to get it. Yeah, and actually, I didn't advertise this show too much. That's why the ratings are a little low, and because I'm preparing for Thursday's show. Thursday's show is going to be the Barn Buster. We're going to have a lot of people on there, and I'm going to start advertising it tomorrow, actually. So Thursday's show, and, you know, we're going to set this black minister straight, too, in a way. Help Peter really sticks up. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being friends at the end, like Joe was talking about. He fought a guy, you know, in school, and they became friends, you know. There's nothing wrong with that. But the truth is the truth, and we're going to tell it. And if you don't like it, like Mike just said, too damn bad.
Yeah, the question I asked right after Blog Talk cut us off is, you know, what color was Mary? You know, and
yeah, there you go. That's a great question, Mike. Where does it say Mary? Where is Mary? Well, we know she was married to Joseph. Joseph obviously was a Jew. He was from Galilee, I think it was Bethlehem. You know, and there were only Jews living in Bethlehem at that time. So I would imagine Mary would be a Jew, according to the. We all know the story of Mary and Jesus. Come on. And we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem. So that's a great question, though, Mike, to put to the Black Jesus minister. Tell me in the Bible where it says Mary was white. Well, I mean, Mary was Jewish, excuse me. You know, Jew and white, that's two different. See, they don't like the pigmentation of the Jewish skin. You got to remember, the Jew is hated around the world. We know that. You know, everyone hates the Jew. Why? Because they're God's people, and the world is of the devil. We know that. Even Joe's mother used to preach about that there. His mother, Joe in Sebastian, Florida. You know, his mother, I know, she was the agitator. Let me tell you, she used to walk us up to Wilsey School, and she'd pick out a fight for us. You know, I'd be like, God, shut up. I remember when my cousin Sean, got into a fight up there, and when she found out, she jumped up through that damn fence with a broken hip and beat the kid up herself. So, and you know how she was. Let me tell you, that broken hip all of a sudden got magically healed. You know, so I don't know. But, yeah, we're talking about my great-grandmother there, Teresa from Wallingford. But, well, I don't want to keep the show going too much longer, because we don't have any scheduled guests. So if you guys want to talk for a couple minutes, you can wrap it up. Mike, if you want to wrap it up, and then Joe, we can do it.
Good, Mike.
Well, the only thing I got to say is, I don't know how many people are going to hear this or are listening online, but like Joe said in the beginning of the show, you know, I think people got to start waking up. You know, you want milk, you go to the store. You know, you want bread, you go to the store. You know, you want your car fixed, you take it and get it fixed. You don't fix things anymore like they did in my days and my brother's days. You know, my brother Joe used to tear a car down and put it back together. You know? And you know, just like anything else, you go to the store, you get your milk, get your bread, get this, get that. Well, if you're gonna you know, live with your head in the sand, you know, what happens when there's no store? That's just like, you know, down here in Milwaukee, you know, they burned down a store down here, you know, when they were rioting. And then the next day on the news, the colored people are complaining they have nowhere to shop.
Yeah, good point, Mike, good point. And now, so, everyone needs to help them, right? Everyone has to help them because the poor people, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know what to say about that. I mean, you know, violence.
Yeah, I understand.
Violence really never solves very much, you know, and
not in today's world. But the instant, see, then people are going to say, well, what about the fights you were talking about in the beginning? Because I already know it's analyzers out there, because we've got about 10 people in the chat room. And, hey, look, we're talking about a different time. We're talking 30 years ago, 35 years ago. I can't believe I'm that old. You know, what I'm talking about when I was 10 years old, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Joe, we're talking 50 years ago. Joe and Sebastian, Florida, we're talking 65 years ago. This was a different time. People had honor and respect. You know, today there is none. I've heard Joe tell stories. He walks down to the store. Yo, man, you got a cigarette, blah, blah. People would never do that back then. You want to know why? Because they say, hey, Joe, can I have a cigarette? You want to know why? Because they knew him. Everyone knew each other. But yet we have this population now in society that nobody cares about anybody. Nobody wants to know anybody. For God's sake, I got next-door neighbors here. They don't give a crap about me. You know, my house could burn down. They probably wouldn't even help. You know, and that's a damn shame. I live out in the country, you know. So we live in a different time. We live in a completely different time. But, Joe, go ahead. The floor is yours now.
Yeah, I've mentioned this a couple shows ago, and what I'm talking about goes back probably 20 or 30 shows ago, but anybody who's listening could go back and research it if they want, and I'm sure some of them will. It's like the kids walking down the street here the other day. Instead of going home and having their mother or father get them that watermelon or that squash, they'll do $250 worth of damage to my fence to go in there and try to steal mine. And then when I confront them, I'm the racist and I'm the bad person because they deserve that.
Oh, tell
that
story. Joe, you need to tell that story for the family on the phone. We've got a lot of family. Tell that story because you told it to me. That's a good story to take up some time here.
Well, all right, we'll take up the time. I just wanted to tell you before I forget, too, this blog talk, when you extend the time, it just doesn't work. The phones go dead.
I know, I agree.
And the web connect goes dead, so that's useless. It's going to have to be for what you got posted, or it's not going to be, because it just doesn't work.
I agree. That happened to us last Thursday, yeah.
And the Thursday before that, it happened as well.
Yeah.
Well, we had a lot to talk about.
Go ahead, Joe.
I've got a pretty big garden here, considering where I live. I've got a pretty big garden here, considering just about anywhere in the towns around here. I don't know if there's one homeowner or person around that would actually have as big or bigger. So it's pretty big. And I live right in the center of the city, and it's constant traffic on one street, and the other street is pretty busy as well. I mean, they're out there 2-3 in the morning, like I said, and they're just cruising.
You live next to a housing project.
Oh, yes, I do.
You live next to a housing project.
I'm just trying to demonstrate in the area in which I live. So I have a nice fence put up all around my garden. I would guess the garden is, maybe half or three quarters of an acre. I don't know. Maybe somewhere around there. I don't know. And anyway, I got a fence all around it. And there was this young black boy and this young black girl. I could assume the boy was 11 or 12 and the girl was 13 or 14. And I was sitting out on the front porch on the second floor. This is a couple of weeks back. And they walked by the house. And then they stopped down adjacent to where the squash and watermelon were growing. And she pointed in there and he looked at her. And then he proceeds to rip the fence down and step on it and start walking over it and start walking toward the watermelon. And, of course, I got up and yelled at him, and I said, what the hell are you doing? And then, of course, he was startled because he didn't know where it came from, so I yelled again, so I got his attention. So he quickly hightailed it out of there, tripped over the fence going out and everything, and they both took off. So I went out there, and I started repairing the fence. And I'm bending over the fence, trying to get it up and everything. And around comes the corner, come those two children with a much older girl. And she's screaming at me, sir, 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 yeah, screaming at me. So without looking up, because I was busy, because if I looked up every time somebody went by and yelled, I'd never get anything done. I just yelled back, listen, I have ears, I can hear you, keep talking. And she wanted to know why I was cussing at her nephew or something like that and whatever. And by that time, she was ranting and raving, and she's gotten closer to me. So I stood up. And, you know, make a long story shorter now, I told her I wasn't cussing. I told her what he had did and everything. And the other girl that was there, she said, well, he was just going to retrieve my library card. I said, your library card? It's in my yard? She says, yes. I said, well, where is it? I'll go get it. And she says, well, I made a mistake. It's not in your yard. I left it at somebody else's house. I said, wait a minute. You point out into my yard for him to go in because I've seen you. Now you're telling me that you just sent him in there to get your library card. Now when I tell you I'm going to get it for you, that you tell me it's not in my yard. I said, this story just doesn't make sense. And it went on and on like that, and she basically, I told her I made a scenario about a pistol that I have in my car that I use for cleaning the snow off my windows in the wintertime and everything, and I made a scenario about that, about losing it in the garage and how I know it's in the car and everything, and if I was out in the garden here looking for it, wouldn't it seem strange? And, of course, she's yelling, gun, he's got a gun. I said, I didn't say gun, you said gun. I said pistol. I said, that's what I have in my car for cleaning the snow off the window in the wintertime and everything. And she went on, and she was very upset, and I was wrong. because they were in the right, because they had every right to rip down my fence and go into my yard and take whatever they wanted to. And that's their mentality. And you know what? There's just no talking to them.
There's no talking to them, folks. That's right. That's absolutely right, and that's the story I brought up about this TRO radio. Why I made the mistake of getting on there, I forget how I did. There's no talking to them. I'm a white cracker. When I tried to tell them the definition of what cracker really means, you all heard it before, it was the slave owner that cracked the whip on the slave. That's where that name came from, cracker. So he's actually paying me, if I'm really a racist, a compliment. They don't even know it, but there's no talking to them. There's no talking to them whatsoever. And you don't want to label all blacks this way, or Mexicans or Hispanics. But those of you who know me, I lived in a city called a prison. Many different cities, the prisons. And let me tell you something. When your numbers are low and there's only 5 white guys and there's 90 black guys, let me tell you something. There's not, let's all just get along, okay? It's not, we're all going to be friends. What's racism is wrong. It's, let me tell you something. It's kill or be killed, because those people are savages. They will try to kill you the first, you have to have eyes in the back of your neck. And that's why the whites get together with the Hispanics, because there'll be 20 or 30 Hispanics. Even the blacks outnumber them. But see, Hispanics, and you get 5 or 6 white guys who are willing to fight most of the blacks who are racist. Most racists are cowards. When you stand up to them, they back down. And I'm going to tell you a prison story here. In prison, blacks are scared of knives and razor blades. That's why we carried them all the time. We'd slice them up in a second because they put this cocoa butter on their skin and everything. They always got to oil down because they stink. All right, that's why you don't want to live with a black person in prison. Whoa, he's a racist. I'm just telling you the truth. This is how we lived in prison. All right, it's the way it was. It's documented in my book. Okay, it's the way it is. Sorry, but if you slice them, they bleed. They bleed fast because they have a different type of skin. So their skin are razor blades. That's why Hispanics carry a lot of razor blades, or they'll cut you. That's why. You know, the whites like to use their hands. They like to knock them out. You know, but the numbers were against us all the time, and there was always racial, and that's what I'm saying. In society, in the cities, the numbers are against the whites. Joe brought that up. If you're a white man walking around in the inner city, unless you know and are good friends with all those blacks, you're a target. You're a target. It's a fact. It's a fact. Joe just told you a story. Why would this older black woman come up and not walk up to Joe and say, I apologize for what my children or my brothers and sisters, whatever, realized. I'm sorry for what they did. How about they work in your garden for a day? Or how about we help you repair the fence? No, she's going to justify why they should destroy the old white racist fence because it's owed to them. And that mentality, folks, is not going to change. I argued with these people. They believe they should all receive $14.8 million in reparations. Every black person for slavery. Tell me, are there any slaves alive today? No, there is not. Why should they be paid for their ancestors? Now, hey, if all their ancestors were here and they were a slave and they were whipped and beaten, okay. I can hear that argument then, even though that's the way society was. I can listen to their argument. Maybe the government should give them something. But if you weren't not a slave, why should you be paid for something that happened to someone else? Come on! What logic does that bring? And you always hear the blacks complain they don't know their heritage, so how are they going to prove who was their ancestors during the slave days? They don't know their heritage because the white man stole it from them. You see, the argument can go round and round and round and round, and the only thing we're going to get is violence. Because there's no talking to these people, just like Joe said and like I said. And I don't want to hear, oh, I have a black friend. Yeah, of course. There's always some good people in the bunch. When I was in prison, there was good old black men in there. Yes, that didn't want no part of it. But when it all boiled down to the end game, if there was a riot or if there was a fight, they all stuck together one way or the other. They all fought for each other, period. End of story. I saw it. I lived it. I was a victim of it, okay? I saw it. So there's nothing you could say. I don't want to hear you liberals out there. I don't want to hear we all just get along. It's not going to happen. Yes, they open the doors for us. Yes, we open a door for them down here. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, he's a nice woman at the cashier desk. Wow, I love all black people now. Bullshit. Because at the end of the day, when she goes home, if she's living in the city and you're living out in the country, if anything ever happens, which it could happen, there could be a race war in this country. There could be. There could be a civil war. Turn off them damn food stamp cards and see what happens. Okay? Mike just talked about a grocery store burnt down, and the news was reporting on it. Where are they going to shop? Huh. Well, the white man has to build them a new store because they burnt it down because they sure as hell don't know how to build a store, do they? All right? Yeah, I know. Those are a lot of racist comments made tonight, a lot of people would say. But we're speaking the truth. And until the truth is addressed, until people say, you know, you're right, we got to have a change within our own community. And it has to start with these inner cities because that's where the crime is. Is there crime out in the country? Yes. You'll never stop crime. Never. Throughout the, look at the history. Supreme Court even ruled on that. The transgressions of few will never stop. So therefore, we have to have these criminal institutions to house the criminals who transgress against society. That is what the Supreme Court ruled when the first prison was built, and it was challenged that it was unconstitutional. That's what they ruled. Okay? And we have to have a place to put these people who are doing bad against other people. Now, are prisons filled with people that don't belong there? Yes. So I don't give a crap if a guy smokes a joint in his backyard. Should he go to jail? No. Black, white, Hispanic, whoever. Don't care. I don't care if he's shooting up a needle in his own house. I don't care. Is it hurting me? No. When you hurt someone else, then yes, you go to jail. When you hurt an innocent member of society who has nothing to do with you, you go to jail. You hurt a fellow family member, you go to jail. When it hurts someone else, it's called common sense. That's all we have to have. But like Joe's story and the stories I've told you, there is no common sense anymore because we live in perilous times. Okay? I'm going to bring this subject again when we have the Africans on the show. African Black Jesus Minister, excuse me, that's what he wants to be called. So I agreed I would. And we'll have Dr. Ventura, a PhD individual. I'll probably have another doctor on the show also. I've been trying to get Pastor Anderson from California out there. He made some remarks that are very racist, according to the world. That was about the nightclub shooting in Orlando where 50 homosexuals were killed. And he said, hey, Orlando's a better place. According to the Bible, it is. I got to agree with him. We're not going to get into that.
One thing I want to toss in there. You brought it to mind with what you were saying about the knives. You know, I grew up in the 60s, and the very early 70s is when I stopped. But, you know, I hung around with black people then, too, and they were nice. But their biggest thing back then was is if you pissed them off, if you got in an argument with them, that what they would come out with, of course, I don't know if it's the same today or not, or maybe I'll jog some people's memories. You know, they'd say, I'll reach down my slide, and I'll pull out my blade, and I'll cut you. And that was the saying, basically. They would tell anybody when you went up to them and pissed them off. In other words, they reach down in their pocket, they'll pull out their knife, and they'll stab you.
Yeah. Well, that's how it was in prison. They feared that. They feared the knives. But
I just thought I'd bring that up because you brought it to mind.
All right. Well, anyway, we'll go ahead and wrap it up here. We had interesting conversations with the people we're on, but where's the rest of the family here? You know, where is your sister, Mike? Well, she hasn't called in yet in a year and a half, 2 years now. Where is she? Come on, she's got to wake up sooner or later. Oh, well.
No,
anyway, maybe not. Maybe she never will. You're right. Who knows? I don't know. But I'm going to play that gun rant with Alex Jones where he had that debate. I'm going to play it again for the people who want to listen to it. So I did get an email from somebody who said they want to hear it. They're probably a guest in the chat room. So I'm going to go ahead and look for that right now. And if you don't want to listen to it, then that'll be the end of the show. But, hey, it's interesting. And it talks about gun control. I mean, so it's 14 minutes long. It'll take up the last half hour of the show. So I'm going to put it in there, and I'm going to shut up, and everyone else can shut up. And I'm going to put it in there, and we'll carry it on to Thursday. Thursday's going to be a great show. So here it is.
It's an issue you know I care passionately about. So here is my position, loud and clear. I'm in favor of a nationwide ban on military-style semi-automatic assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. I want to close the gun show loopholes and require private dealers to run background checks on buyers at gun shows. And I'd like to see the president increase federal funding for mental health treatment for all Americans who need it. I think these are entirely reasonable reactions to the outrages that have occurred in America over the last few months. But tonight, I'll go head-to-head with a man who actually wants to deport me for having these very views. And over 104,000 Americans apparently agree with him.
Pierce, I can't say how much I agree with your opinion and what you've stated previously. I appreciate you having your First Amendment right, and I am glad you're speaking out, because that's exactly what we need.
Anyone who's watched this show over the past few weeks knows I've taken a pretty strong stand on guns in America. It's not escaped the notice of supporters of gun rights, and it's led to a petition on the White House official website, no less. It's entitled, and I quote, "Deport British citizen Piers Morgan for attacking Second Amendment." Take a look. More than 104,000 people have signed it so far. And joining me now is one of the people behind the petition, Alex Jones. He's host of the Alex Jones Show. Welcome to you.
Pierce, thanks for having me.
Why do you want to deport me?
Well, we did it as a way to bring attention to the fact that we have all of these foreigners and the Russian government, the official Chinese government. Mao said political power goes out of the barrel of a gun. He killed about 80 million people because he's the only guy that had the guns. So we did it to point out that this is globalism, and the mega banks that control the planet and brag that they've taken over, in Bloomberg, AP, Reuters, you name it, brag that they're going to get our guns as well. They've taken everybody's guns but the Swiss and the American people. And when they get our guns, they can have their world tyranny. While the government buys 1.6 billion bullets, armored vehicles, tanks, helicopters, predator drones, armed, now in U.S. skies, being used to arrest people in North Dakota. The Second Amendment isn't there for duck hunting. It's there to protect us from tyrannical government and street thugs. Take the women in India. Your piece earlier on CNN I was watching during Anderson Cooper's show didn't tell you that the women of India have signed giant petitions to get firearms because the police can't and won't protect them. The answer is, hey, wait a minute, I have FBI crime statistics that come out a year late, 2011. 20%+ crime drop in the last 9 years. Real violent crime, because more guns means less crime. Britain took the guns 15, 16 years ago, tripling of your overall violent crime. True, we have a higher gun violence level, but overall mugging, stabbings, deaths, those men raped that woman in India to death with an iron rod 4 feet long. You can't ban the iron rods. The guns, the iron rods, Pierce, didn't do it. The tyrants did it. Hitler took the guns. Stalin took the guns. Mao took the guns. Fidel Castro took the guns. Hugo Chavez took the guns. And I'm here to tell you, 1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms. Doesn't matter how many lemmings you get out there on the street begging for them to have their guns taken. We will not relinquish them. Do you understand? That's why you're going to fail, and the establishment knows, no matter how much propaganda, the Republic will rise again when you attempt to take our guns. My family in the Texas Revolution against Santa Anna, my family was at the core on both sides starting that, because Santa Anna came to take the guns at Gonzales, Texas. Pierce, Don't try what your ancestors did before. Why don't you come to America? I'll take you out shooting. You can become an American and join the Republic.
You finished?
Yes, I am finished. You will not take my right. You go through background checks to get guns. How about Prozac? You know the number one, oh, that's a big sponsor, isn't it? Or that whole class of drugs.
Let me ask you a question.
Oh, whoa, got to cut that off, don't you? Don't want to talk about the U.S. number one cause of death is suicide now because they give people suicide mass murder pills.
Calm down.
Your answer is give more money to the psychiatrist and psychologist to put more crazy people on drugs that make them kill people, Pierce.
Let's try and have a debate here.
Yeah.
Answer me this question.
Mm-hmm. I'm sick of the same old script here, Bud.
It's fine, Bud. How many gun murders were there in America last year? Do you know?
There were about 11,458, and about 74% of those were gang-related, gangbanger shooting each other. You get 3,500 to 4,000.
Okay, that wasn't the case.
How many people died from infections in hospitals? 197,000.
Let me just ask you a second.
That's
question.
Right.
How many gun murders were there in Britain?
How many great white sharks?
No, how many?
Kill people every year, but they're scared to swim.
Right. How many gun murders were there in Britain?
A very low amount. I already went over those statistics.
How many, do you know?
It was only a few hundred.
No. How many gun murders?
I actually did pull up the statistics. Here, let me pull them out right here. I figured you'd do that.
Gun murders in
Britain
last
year. Oh, wait. UK violent crime, capital of Europe. London Telegraph. Here, let me give you more.
It's quite a simple question.
Well, that's the oldest.
You're a very loud
man. That's the oldest Perry Mason tactic to ask me some little factoid.
It's not a little factoid.
I already said earlier,
we're talking about
England has a lot lower gun crime rate because you took all the guns.
Let me try exactly
my
point.
But you've got hordes of people burning down cities and beating old women's brains out every day.
What a ridiculous thing.
They arrest people in England if they defend themselves. That's on record. My God, you have got a total police state. Everybody's fleeing that country because you've had to flee here, bud. Why don't you tell folks? Yeah, you fled here. Why don't you go back and face the charges for the hacking scandal?
Answer this question. How many guns?
Why'd you get fired from the Daily Mirror for putting out fake stories? You're a hatchet man of the New World Order.
Okay.
You're a hatchet man. And I want to say this right here. You think you're a tough guy? Have me back with a boxing ring in here, and I'll wear red, white, and blue, and you can wear your Jolly Roger.
Okay.
You know what?
Let's try again. How many gun murders were there?
Oh, you're going to ban your fist now?
In Britain last year.
How many chimpanzees can dance on the head of a pin?
Hmm.
I already went over those statistics.
Do you know the answer?
No, I don't.
You said hundreds.
It's very low.
You said hundreds.
Yes.
It's actually 35.
Well, the point is you can...
Against 11,000. Do you understand the difference between 11,000
and 35? Yeah, England wants
35.
To ban knives now because tens of thousands are getting stabbed.
Right. But do you understand
you're gonna ban
the
knives?
Difference?
The knife doesn't kill people.
Do you understand?
The gun doesn't kill people.
Yes.
Listen, do you understand
between 35
you're not going to pull on America's heartstrings? They know your script, okay? You're not going to get our guns. By the way, you guys always say, we just want to take the semi-autos, okay, and all this other stuff. When semi-autos aren't even, rifles aren't even used but in a fraction of the crimes, you can pull those numbers up, okay? Hold on.
So let me ask you one question. Which weapon was predominantly used in the Aurora movie theater shooting?
M4 AR-15 variant.
So it was a semi-automatic assault rifle.
Again.
Okay.
But statistically, it's very, very low.
Do you agree it was the single biggest shooting in the history of America in terms of people hit by a shooter? Do you know that?
No, I believe that there were others.
It's about
over 30.
No. This was the single biggest mass shooting.
Well, listen, there have been bombings of Wall Street.
Let me ask you a second question.
Are we going to... Listen, why can't the
let
pilots
me ask you
have
a second
firearms?
Question, Alex.
We trust them to fly the planes.
Alex, you've had a lot to say.
No, my point is the Second Amendment is sacrosanct, and you're not getting it.
Do you know which weapon was used in the Oregon shopping mall mass shooting recently?
I understand that people... who are mentally ill on all the serotonin reuptake inhibitors who play these shoot-em-up games want to go out and do this.
Alex.
Because there's criminals, I don't lose my rights, Pierce.
Alex.
Because there's criminals, I don't lose my rights.
Just answer the question.
Yeah.
Do you know what the weapon used was?
Listen, let me ask you a question.
No, answer.
I've got the FBI statistics that, listen,
the
so-called semi-autos that you talk
about.
Let's
take a break. When we come back.
Again, you're not going to get our guns.
When we come back, try and answer my question.
Yeah, all you're going to do is sit there and play little factoid questions. Overall crime has gone up over 20%.
Back now with Alex Jones. A man says I should be deported for my stand on guns. So, Alex, here's how this is going to work, and it's entirely down to you. I'm going to ask you some questions. In the spirit of a proper debate, and you've had a lot to say so far on the show, a lot of it aimed at me, which is fine, But I want you to try and answer the questions. It's a proper debate, okay? I'm not trying to trip you up.
No, it's not a debate. You're running the show. You bring in your victims up front.
Actually, no.
Look, you got your little note card.
Yeah. Okay.
I just gave you FBI statistics that violent crime and gun crime is down over 20%.
Alex, let me just ask you.
And you want to go to little factoids.
No, they're not little
Anybody can pull those up. Listen.
Do you know what...
Do you have a bodyguard?
Alex.
Why do you have bodyguards?
I don't have a bodyguard.
Yeah, I've seen you on the news with them.
Don't
you want to protect your wife from hoodlums or you want to call the police?
Let me ask you this question.
Why does Dianne Feinstein until 60
Alex.
Minutes that she plans to try to take Mr. and Mrs. America's guns.
Stop talking over me.
You guys want to disarm all of America.
No, I don't.
Dianne Feinstein's bill does.
I don't.
Gun confiscation.
No, let me clarify for you. You don't seem to understand
First
what
you register, then you confiscate. It's always done the same.
Here's what the campaign on this
Well, here, give me your little cue cards and I'll answer your questions for
you. What was the weapon used at Sandy Hook?
I've already gone over that and already answered it for you.
We haven't talked about Sandy Hook.
No, again.
What was the weapon?
It's a 223 M4.
Right.
Again, but statistically, they're using very low percentage of shooting.
But
are you seeing people wouldn't go swimming because the movie Jaws, even though great white sharks kill five people a year.
Alex,
you're trying to scare people.
Let me say something.
There's no metal shark in the water.
The same type of weapon was used in the last three mass shootings.
And Hitler used semi-autos to kill people.
Why would you
and
not?
And so did Mao.
Why would you?
Why is the government arming to the teeth against us?
Alex, I don't know.
What about Fast and Furious?
Alex.
Why do our government ship guns into Mexico?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
Let's have a debate.
A false flag?
Alex.
To blame the Second Amendment?
I get accused.
Why'd they blow up Building 7 down the street here in New York?
I get accused when I get you guys on of talking over you, of being rude. I'm trying to be civil.
Yeah.
Right? You've got to try and answer some of the questions, right? Here's my issue for you. Why do people need, civilians, need an AR-15 type assault rifle? Why
I already said statistically they're used in a very low amount of the crimes. That's an FBI fact.
They've been used in the last three mass shootings.
Yes.
Why
I'll tell you why. Because they advertise it in the media. Anybody knows that if somebody jumps off the Empire State Building, they put cops up there the next day because copycats come to do it again. The media hypes and hypes and hypes.
And that's not the question.
Don't just commit suicide.
Alex, why do people
Don't commit suicide by killing a bunch of kids. And here's the gun to use because it's the one the U.S. Army uses.
Why do people need them?
They need them to protect us from the number one killer in history. Mm-hmm. Government in the 20th century, university study out of Hawaii killed 292 million people. It's called democide. Google it, folks.
Do you believe everyone in America should therefore have an AR-15 if they want one?
Statistically, where there's more guns, there's lower crime. Mm-hmm. The highest crime is in Bloomberg.
But you have the most
controlled
guns
areas.
Of any of the 23 richest countries in the world. And you have 20,000
Well, America was born on guns and whiskey.
Right. But
it's true we're a violent society.
Right. So you
but
said that America has the most
knives
guns
kill three
and the most
times more. Have you seen the FBI numbers? Knives, bats, rocks.
Assault guns.
Kill many, many times more.
Alex, let's talk about the guns.
It's not the rock. It's not the knife. When a mother chops her kids up with a cleaver because she's on serotonin.
Alex, tell me why I'm wrong.
Why don't you
want to
get rid of the drugs?
Because
they're half your sponsors.
Stick to the subject.
America's number one cause of unnatural death now is suicide.
Alex,
not automobile accident, not cancer.
Accuse me of attacking the Second Amendment of the Constitution.
I want to get people off pills that the insert says will make you commit suicide and kill people.
Alex, let's get about to the Second Amendment.
I want to blame the real culprit.
Alex.
Suicide pills.
Alex.
Mass murder pills.
Okay, let me ask you one question. Your belief, unless I'm wrong.
First time anybody's ever heard this, by the way.
Your belief, unless I'm wrong, is that under the Second Amendment, your real concern is that you will be overrun by a tyrannical regime, either from somewhere else.
Yeah, highway checkpoints. Look at Mexico. Total gun ban for the citizens. Highest crime rate in the world. 57,000 people dead the last 5 years. Total gun ban for the citizens.
But
Switzerland has the lowest crime rate in Europe.
Alex,
your country has the highest.
Alex, we have 35 gun murders a year. You have 11,000.
People get their brains. It's the higher crime rate.
Let me ask
Violent
you.
Violent crime is higher.
On this specific.
It's brains.
Alex,
it's people.
I'm trying to get inside your brain.
Pierce.
It's
if
not
you punched
very
me
easy.
Right now, it'd be not your fist,
Alex,
but your brain that did
Alex,
it.
Let me get inside your brain.
Okay.
Okay? I'm serious. You have a very, very big platform. You air, I think, on 63 networks.
No. That Wikipedia is like 10 years old. I'm on over 140 stations, XM.
Millions of Americans hear you
over a million
every
and a half
day.
Visitors, InfoWars.com
and
a day.
I congratulate
where we have
you
the statistics posted right now, InfoWars.com.
Who do you believe was behind 9/11?
Oh, I absolutely know. I have the police on CNN saying, get back, they're going to blow up 7. I have BBC reporting.
Who do you believe was behind
I have the proof. I heard them on CBS
Who?
Radio.
Who, Alex?
They announced they blew up the towers on CBS radio.
Who do you believe?
New Yorkers all saw it and heard it.
Alex, who do you
believe?
They
blew up Building 7.
Alex, who do you believe was behind it? The American government?
criminal elements of the military-industrial complex, the same ones that staged Gulf of Tonkin, the same ones that staged Operation, the mass shootings of Operation Gladio.
Right.
Ooh, the CIA don't like this right now.
Do you mean that President Bush and his administration were behind 9/11?
I mean that even mainstream news reported that the hijackers were ordered to be allowed into the United States. Michael Springman, the head of the Visa Department, blew the whistle on that.
So the Bush administration was part of a conspiracy.
Well, he
murder,
said never let us tolerate
to murder Americans.
I can speak in this accent as well.
Yeah. The but is that
government,
what you believe?
Hitler firebombed his own Reichstag tears to bring in martial law in Germany April 27th, 1933. Governments have staged terror attacks throughout history or allowed terrorists to attack as a pretext to invade and enslave the populations. I probably own more than 50 firearms. Many of them have increased in value 2, 3, or even 4 times. I sleep very comfortably outside Austin, Texas, knowing that I can defend my family.
Okay. Alex Jones, this is
InfoWars.com.
This is the man who wants to deport me from the country for wanting to get rid of
assault
rifles.
It's to point out you're a foreigner, a redcoat, here telling us what to do.
Whatever.
Go back to where they took the guns if you don't like it. The communists.
All right. Hey. All right, I just had to play that for everybody, you know. Hey, gun control, he made some great points. I know it was a show, but I understand what Alex Jones was doing there. He was speaking over the host because he was right. He was 100% correct. He had his little they used little factoids, these liberals, and then they never addressed the issue or addressed the facts. So anyway, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up tonight. Next Thursday, great show coming up next Thursday. Please, Dr. Ventura and Black Jesus Minister, they promised to be here. Let's hope they all show up. I got to end the episode. God bless. Take care.